first edition of this year's version of the Scuttlebucks. To remind you, I'm Jeff Cameron. That is Tom Lang. And the Bucks are world champions. That's a fun thing to remind you of, right? They're also 2-0 and hadn't played all that well. Well, in some facets, they've played very well. In others, they haven't. And it's a reminder of how loaded they are. It is great to be back with you. Should note right off the bat that we thank our friends at Bill Curry Ford for sponsoring this and for allowing us to be back with you doing the Scuttle Bucks. A little bit of a late start. A lot of moving pieces, both on our end and their end. And so it was that we couldn't quite get back in time for the start of the season. But no matter, we took you through to a Super Bowl victory last year and now return with yet another win, record-breaking win for Tom Brady and the world champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we do so fresh off a Sunday win and a Monday morning show. This is, Tom, going to be the schedule. I suppose moving forward here we'll have a Friday night sort of preview, is it?
Yeah, so Mondays are going to be the longer of two podcasts that you're going to get from the Scuttlebucks. Instead
That's
of
right.
us running once, I think, what was it, like Thursdays during the week back in the day?
Mm-hmm.
You're now going to get a Monday reaction show for about a half an hour, give or take, depending upon how the game goes and how many talking points there are. Then on Friday, we're going to talk for about 10 to 15 minutes previewing the next game. So you're going to get us twice, folks. You're going to get us twice, and we're happy about this because where we live, we need positive stuff to talk about. So we've got plenty of positive things to talk about from our roots in the Bay Area, because it's depressing otherwise at our day job.
Yeah, so for those that don't know, maybe you're new to the show, we cover Florida State. We both went to Florida State. Florida State's one of the worst teams in Power 5 college football. We're also both from the Tampa St. Pete area, grew up down there, various places, and love the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So that's how this all kind of came about. As for the Bucs themselves, they are the antithesis of Florida State football currently. They quite literally are the antithesis of Florida State football. Florida State can do very little right on a day-to-day and weekly basis. The Bucs can do very little wrong. You end up having to nitpick quite a bit in order to criticize the Bucs. Not that there aren't things. Obviously, Bruce Arians' clock management at the end of halves still remains stupefyingly bad. He is personally responsible for some points that got Atlanta a little bit of momentum just before the half. He does that all the time. He doesn't know what he's doing at the end of halves. But you always will have to, of course, take the good with the bad. Clock management not being his strength is an understatement. But obviously, guys love to play for him. Guys love to play for him, and he lets them be who they are, treats them like grown-ass men. They appreciate that in a way that has them show up and prepared every week. And sometimes it's more important than some of the little things that he doesn't seem to have a good grasp on. My question to you, since we started with the criticism and a blowout win, is, and I brought this up via text when we were talking, who's not in his ear? How do you not have somebody in your ear? How is there not an assistant coach, perhaps a player as powerful as Brady, or somebody going, hey, man, what are you doing?
Well, it could be because there's elevator music in the headset. I don't know.
I mean, like, what are you doing with the timeout? What are we doing? We're on the two-yard line, man. Let the clock run.
So
what are you doing?
The talking point in our text and a couple other my text threads for Bucks games, and I need these text threads in my life. I need Sundays in my life, and I'm glad I have Sundays in my life. They said the same thing, which is it probably won't matter.
It doesn't matter, yeah.
It probably won't because Atlanta's not good enough. It got nip and tuck there at 28-25, and you're
sure
thinking, oh, well, could have been 28-21 here, okay. And it didn't matter because we are that damn good. But, you know, if you're judging a team, and this is what I did last year on the Scuttlebucks, is if you're judging against the curve of championship and excellence and, dare I say, a dynasty that you're shooting for at this point, because Tom Brady doesn't look like this is his final season.
No, he looks very good.
It doesn't look like we're limping home in the career and, no. And we've got to carry him through good defense and,
well,
and playmakers on offense.
Well, think about Peyton Manning's career where the defense had to win the day. His arm was shot. He was just getting by on guile and knowledge and just, you know, finding a way to make enough passes a game to let that defense win the day. That's not what this is. No,
nope.
Tom is still really good. In fact, I looked at the odds this morning and I was stunned to see that he is not the overwhelming favorite currently to win the MVP. And he should be with 9 touchdowns against 0 interceptions. It makes no sense that he's not. He's looked brilliant, especially when you juxtapose that to, I mean, the only other guy you might want to look at in this conversation right now is Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
But you know, if you think about that horrible interception last night with Kansas City, you've seen enough up and down play from some of the other star quarterbacks.
Yeah, the one other guy I'd say is Carr. Carr's numbers for the Vegas Raiders are absurd.
Well, no, he's played brilliant. You're right. That's a fair.
And you get a win in Pittsburgh, and you do it that way with explosiveness. I mean, that's an interesting team, but it's more about us than it is obviously anybody else. Yeah, the thing is, if you look at the roster, I don't know that we have any other candidates, like frontline candidates to win league MVP. Sometimes you have an all-world defender that might take votes away. If you look at, for example, the Rams. All right, if you wanted to make an argument that in December, and that's this week's opponent, we'll talk about it on Friday, but if you want to make an argument that in December, Matthew Stafford's numbers are going to be so prolific that he's in the MVP race, well, Aaron Donald is going to be as well. So you're going to lose votes there. With Brady, I think you've got a consolidated vote total, and it looks like he's trying to break records. There are times when you see a loaded offense, and they're just kind of biding their time, getting the ball around, getting people the work they need, and they're playing for the long game. I think we're doing that, but also Brady is fully aware that he could set all kinds of records with this offense, and he's having all the fun in the world doing it.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that either, too. You should embrace the hell out of trying to shatter records. It benefits the team. That's fine. I mean, he's not making crazy decisions based on personal numbers. These are guys that are open, and he's hitting them because you cannot take away all the bucks bring to the table on a Sunday afternoon. You just can't. I really almost, if I were being purely objective and just wanted to see great games every Sunday, and I don't. I want to see bucks blowouts. But if I wanted to see good games, I, for the most part, would really begin to feel bad for other teams. And that sounds absurd because of the NFL and there are good players and things won't always look this way. But there are so many weapons and some guys that are just – think about O.J. Howard is going to get better as the season goes on. This is a guy that hasn't had an opportunity to really play on that devastating injury. And so he's going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. The difference between this year and last year is also that Gronk comes into the season in shape, ready to play, and looks every bit the part from 5 years ago, Gronk, which is really problematic for people.
Yeah, this doesn't look like his last year either.
No. Yeah. He looks healthy and better than he's ever looked. He looks amazing. Remember, he spent the better part of half the season a year ago looking pretty much like he was running in quicksand, and then from there, turning it on as he got in shape and got healthier and felt better and got into football condition. Now he comes out the gates looking like a beast yet again and motivated. He looks like he's motivated. Just throwing people to the ground and all the rest of it. It's beautiful.
They did a really good job the first broadcast of highlighting it, but then also Greg Olsen, who was excellent yesterday.
He's fantastic, by the way. Great hire.
I thought he was a little bit overrated. No, he's rounded into form real fast.
He's good, man.
Breaking down, and they were trying to do so while there were plays on the field. I wish they just could set aside some time. But the touchdown pass from Brady to Gronk against the Cowboys and the communication, the Brewski call line of scrimmage before the play was run. Man, those two are perfectly in sync. That's not a surprise, but they're also, dare I say, pretty close to the height of their powers. That's the absurd part about that relationship.
Feels that way.
Yeah.
It does. It's silly. Well, let me ask you this, because at the height of his powers, Tom Brady threw for 5,235 yards. He did that in the year 2011. 10 years ago, Tom, he threw for 5,235 yards. Do we think, as currently constructed, knock on wood, no injuries, he goes north of 5,235 yards passing this year to break his own record?
So the argument against that would be we're going to be up in a lot of these games, and so therefore you're going to work on other things, run the football. I think the answer is yes, even at the 16-game plateau. I think there's a real chance because there's 17, so I'm going to throw that final game of the season out.
He may not even have to play in the 17th game, though.
Correct, but what I'll say is at the end of the 16th game.
You think he'll be over that?
Yeah, the way this offense looks right now, it looks like they're trying to. That's the key. They are trying to be explosive, and this is something – I didn't play it yesterday, and I'm lucky because he overthrew Evans on the deep post, and that was wide open for a touchdown. But I think I'm going to play prop-wise the over on the longest completion for Brady every week.
Over 30 yards?
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, typically.
Somebody is going to be wide the hell open. You can only play so many guys with double coverage or bracket coverage or give them extra attention. You can only play so many guys as an opposing defense. Somebody's going to be wide the hell open down the field every single week. There are too many weapons.
And really, even if you play, say, some form of cover four, and you just decide, okay, well, we're going to make you earn it. You're going to run the ball down the field if you want to, but we're not having this nonsense where you score twice in seven plays. You know, I mean, you're going to have to earn it. Even if you do that, the seams open up for him, and it takes one of those players like Godwin to make somebody miss, and he's
well, lost. Also got guys who can win 50-50 battles, and not one person. You got, like, four.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, it's great. The other number to point out here, since he's already at 9 touchdown passes, will he break his 2007 mark of 50? That's the Randy Moss year. 50 touchdowns. Now, back then, in 14 years ago.
Yeah, it feels like yesterday.
When he threw 50 touchdown passes, it was a league that did not see people throw 50 touchdown passes. It is a league still where 50 touchdown passes is a ton. But less amazing is a number in the 40s anymore because obviously the league is built around offense. The game is officiated to give the offensive teams the advantage and then some. Too much for my liking, but hey, that's the way it is. So 50 seems like a big number even still, but when you have 9 in 2 games,
yeah.
I mean, I guess.
Yeah, if he comes out of the next 2 games, because this is going to be really interesting going on the road to play the Rams, who are going to clean some stuff up. I thought Indianapolis exposed that defense yesterday. They've got good individual players, but Carson Wentz is going to be able to move the ball like he did. That's alarming if you're a Rams fan, again, because they're looking – it's a binary season for them, too.
Yes, correct.
Success is only defined by a Super Bowl. Anything less is bad. And then you got the Patriots in 2 weeks. So if Brady comes out of that with 14 or 15 touchdown passes – total for the season after the Patriots game.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, man, because who's stopping us at that point? Only ourselves,
yeah.
Only because we want to work on other things.
A couple things here, early season observations. Obviously, Tom, we both have concerns with an injury-riddled secondary, which makes it that much more difficult for us to be overly critical. Again, you've got a lot of different guys working in spots where if you're healthy, that doesn't happen. They don't get that many looks. They don't on field that long. Other guys that are playing through some things, they're not at their best either. So it's tough to be too harsh on the secondary, which has been the weak link so far early in the season. But it is something to point to. The other thing that I would tell you is that on the other side of the ball, Ronald Jones, man,
well, you took mine. All right.
Well, fine. I'm sorry. I had to give you one on each side. So you know how I just got done alluding to the fact that Gronk looks healthy and ready to go, hit the ground running? That's Leonard Fournette, who now looks like a different player and is also catching the ball out of the backfield and doing the thing, little things. He looks like he has surpassed Ronald Jones as just a better running back, period.
I think that's going to go back and forth because I anticipate both of these players to be inconsistent. They're not the smartest running backs in the world. You know, Ronald Jones catches a pass yesterday on first down in the second half. Right. I'm so excited. I think he was too. He didn't know what to do.
He was shocked he caught it.
Yeah, so he darts out of bounds and it's 2nd and 1. And then on the next run, Chris Godwin is blocking up. I don't know if I can't remember if it was the A gap or the B gap, but he's inside the tackle, right? And he's leading the way. Ronald has a path behind 14 for, I don't know, a gain of 4 or 5.
Yes.
Bounces it outside for no reason whatsoever, and we're in 3rd and short, and now you're thinking, oh my God, this is actually going to matter, that he went out 1 yard. These little details, you've got 17 games to figure it out, but I think we're going to get pissed off by both of these running backs consistently over the course of the season and then happy with them. It's just going to go back and forth because Fournette, there's one particular run in this game where it's a zone run. And you remember back in the day, we used to chuckle. Jimbo Fisher up here say, press the hole!
Yeah.
Right? Press up before you make your cut.
Yeah.
And Leonard just, he doesn't want to do it. He darts straight to the left for the cutback lane, brings 2 defenders, including a linebacker who would have been sealed off, turns a gain of maybe 15 into a gain of 6. So I see these types of things happen consistently between these 2 backs.
An elite running back.
They're not the smartest guys in the world when it comes to little things like that.
Yeah, they don't have an elite running back on the roster, it doesn't appear. But I do think that Fournette, through 2 games, has looked like the much better player. You had Jones fumble, he gets benched in the first game. Ronald, you're not responding well to this challenge, my man.
Right. The one personnel question I had is, okay, so Ronald Jones turns Deion Jones loose for a big-time sack, and you had it blocked up. You had it protected. There were a couple sacks that Brady took. I'm thinking, well, that's got to be a coverage sack because, I mean, everything is accounted for.
They only rushed 3 on the sack fumble, and Brady holds the ball for 7 seconds. I'm like, Tom, that's hubris.
There's another that's coming around the right where it's blocked up the way it needs to be. But in this case, Ronald Jones turns the defender loose, and I'm asking myself, well, what did you get Gio Bernard for?
Right.
He's a 3rd down back, right? Yeah. He's supposed to be good at protections, and he's catching the ball. And again, we are nitpicking because you're looking to establish a dynasty now. These guys look young enough at all positions, including quarterback. They look young enough at all positions to make this dream happen for more than just one season, it's time to get greedy in Tampa Bay, and it's a great feeling.
It is a great feeling, and it is all relative as we sit back and talk about what the team is or is not. We know that this is, of course, the reigning world champions, Tampa Bay team that is going to be in every game because of a prolific offense. So even if they have bad days at the office defensively, they're going to be in games because they're going to score. I don't know there are too many teams going to slow this down completely. Now, over 17 games, you're going to have some clunkers. You know, this season, as with most seasons, but I think it's true now that you have a 17-game regular season, is really a lot about injury luck. You know, this is for everybody. If your starters are out there, the Bucs are an odds-on favorite with maybe a handful of other teams, maybe fewer, that could win a Super Bowl. The Bucs are clearly that kind of team. It's an all-star roster when they're all right. When they're all right, it's an all-star roster. But, you know, it's football, and not everybody is all right all the time. And you see that throughout the league yesterday, just guys dropping like fives on. Yep. And in some of those cases, it's non-contact. You're just like, well, this is a cruel game. So every week, we'll be looking for efficiency. We'll be looking to see how well they play. But at the same time, you know, you're going to be holding your breath about health because I think there'll be weeks, Tom, and we talked about just since this is the first Scuttlebucks back, I think one of the things that I want to talk about is a little bit about the way you project moving forward and the way you take a big picture view. I think there will be some weeks because it's absurd. In the offseason, ESPN and outlets like that like to debate things like, can Tom Brady and the Bucs go 17-0? And just dumbass things to talk about because there's nothing more to talk about. You're going to have weeks where guys need rest. You're going to have days where guys could play if it really mattered. But now let's say Carolina begins to dissolve a little bit. They're off to a nice start, 2-0 team. I mean, good for them. I don't think they're great, but nice start to the season. The Saints are 1-1. I don't really know what the Saints are just yet because they had 9 coaches miss the game yesterday and miss the week because of COVID, and they looked like a team that wasn't coached yesterday. So I don't know what they are. I think they're decent. I think they're okay. You know, we'll see as the year goes on. But the point would be we know the Falcons aren't any good. So the Bucs are going to win this division. If you get up at any point, say 10 weeks into the season by 2 and 3 games, and you got a bunch of guys dinged up, you're going to see a clunker. You're going to see a couple games where the Bucs don't look all that interested. And now, Brady will always care, but I'm not so sure you can get those guys in the trenches who have to really withstand the punishment to be as locked in every week as you would ordinarily like.
Yeah, I'm thinking, okay, two guys in particular, Ndamukong Suh and JPP.
Yeah.
Who cares if they're good in November? Like, right? Like, who really, as long as things are being taken care of in the standings, like you're talking about, it would be nice to get the bye as the number one seed in the NFC.
Oh, it'd be huge.
And if you're in position to do so, then you need to attack it.
Go absolutely get it.
But the regular season extends into January now. The first week of January is a regular season week 18 football game. So, to your point, I need those guys ready to go. And listen, you know, Nunez Roches makes one of the best plays plays in the game yesterday.
What a play.
So you allow players like that to feel more confident. You get them the more reps over the course of the season. It is almost like a baseball season now as you're getting into 17 games where there are times in the court, you know, it's the middle of summer. Rays fans, you know this, even though roster turnover. Name your star player. You know, you give them a day off. Give your catcher an extra day off. They you know, their knees could use it. I fully agree with you. You got to manage those things well, and that is an area that Bruce is progressive at anyway.
Yeah,
he gives dudes days off of practice. Gruden used to do this too. Joey Galloway, I know what you could do. Just show up on Sundays. Yeah, man, cut corners and get rest. Brady last year, it was a novel concept to him. He said, I need the day off, and Bruce is like, sure.
Take it.
Brady never took a day off in New England.
No.
Ever.
Yeah. Take the day. It'll be okay. I trust you'll be prepared to play on Sunday.
I know what the hell you are.
Yeah, I know what you are. You can afford to do that. General Manager Sean Sullivan will give any Buccaneers fan personal service at the dealership. Bill Curry Ford is 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium, or find Sean's email at billcurryford.com. I'm excited about being back on board. See, this was effortless. You know, we get 20 minutes into the pod of a 30-minute pod, and it's mostly talk about big picture stuff, mostly talk about, you know, what they're capable of. Well, we know what they're capable of. They're capable of winning the Super Bowl. When I look around at the best teams, one of the things that I thought coming into the season, you did too, I think any reasonable person looking at that roster upgrade, in particular at the quarterback position, thought the Rams are going to be a problem. But that's why this is a fun game early on, because the Rams defense has been giving it up a little bit here. We'll see. I wonder, we'll have their total attention.
Sure.
And they're going to show up and play well. This will be a much better effort defensively from the Rams than you've seen up to this point.
Yeah, I think so. But I also think this, for whatever reason, we've matched up okay with them, and I think it's because we've got extra receivers, right? So Jalen Ramsey, if you look at the coverage grades so far this season, he's number one in football. Go figure. Asante Samuel Jr. out in L.A. is number two.
Nicely done.
In terms of coverage grades. But Jalen can only cover one of our guys. So now you've got Godwin, Antonio Brown, who they schemed some stuff up for this weekend they just didn't hit on. And you got Gronk in the middle with OJ. I mean, like, okay, Scotty Miller is weapon six or seven in this offense. That's where, wonderful, you can have Jalen Ramsey. Cancel off whoever you want to cancel off. We can go somewhere else. The test for me this week is going to be the interior of that offensive line against Aaron Donald. But we've handled him okay. Even dating back to the Jameis day where they played out west and we dropped like 50 on him. You know, they had all those studs for that game as well. This game matters more for the Rams than it does the Bucs. They need to make a statement early on.
You're going to get a lot of teams' best statements to that point.
There's going to be a calm around our franchise because they went through. The funny thing is, even though you have Brady and you had him last year and we win the Super Bowl and we're on that run of nine straight games that we win and we score more than 30 points, which is an NFL record now, breaking Brady and Brady's previous records from 07 and 11 or 2010, whatever it was. There's going to be a calm about this team because last season we were kind of at a push or shove kind of moment. Is this going to work? And it was on the road at the Atlanta game. You're down 24-7, 24-0, whatever it is. And I thought another good discussion point yesterday on the Fox broadcast, good insight, that Bruce said to Byron Leftwich when we're down a bunch at the Georgia, well, it's not the Georgia Dome anymore, Mercedes-Benz, every home run play you have, dial it up.
Yeah,
Tom, this dink and dunk stuff, we're done with it.
Yeah.
We have the horses, let's let them run. And the next thing you know, we are as prolific as any offense in football, including Kansas City, since that point. That's going to give you confidence and calm that when adversity strikes this season, you can move past it. LA's got to prove it to themselves. We don't have to prove it to ourselves. We know the drill.
In a weird way, and it's interesting to hear Sean McVay, who I like a lot, both as a coach and as a personality, his post-game press conference yesterday after they won, quote, "I need a beer." That's a fantastic opener. But here's the deal. That was really, really important if you consider Stafford's record, road games, good teams, fourth quarter.
And if Wentz doesn't get hurt, they kind of get lucky a little bit there.
Also, Wentz throws one of the absurd interceptions of the year.
Oh, yeah, because the shovel.
What the hell is he doing? Just get the hell out of here. Always hurt ass. Anyhow, it's embarrassing. But it's so, anyhow, that was crazy watching that play and watching him just baffles me at times. But that said, Stafford, I think is a huge upgrade at quarterback for them from Goff. And I've said this before, when he got to Los Angeles, I thought the problem now, because Cooper Kupp's really good and they have weapons. Now, they had some injuries, and this was all before the season when we were talking. It's a shame because Cam Akers was going to have a good year, and we like Cam. We covered him. But they've got players now, good at tight end, good at running, decent at running back.
Yeah, Cooper Kupp's going to be a top five receiver numbers-wise.
Yeah, and that's what I said. Cooper Kupp is a guy that you know, who 160 plus yards yesterday. That's a guy that, all right, look, that's their most dangerous weapon. Surely we're going to play better against him and let other people have to beat us this week. Now, I mean, I am curious, but Stafford gained some confidence with a win like that yesterday after nearly blowing it.
Yeah, it's tough to see. Like, I don't know all of the principles defensively. It's so much easier to break down a Monday morning quarterback offense because you can kind of see where the play is going and where it's supposed to go or what the options are. On defense, you don't always know the responsibilities and the rules based upon adjustments of the route combinations or the fourth. Like, they've got to, you know, they got to make choices based upon what they see. All that being said, Antoine Winfield's had a tough start to the season. The safety group in general has been banged up, and not having Jordan Whitehead has hurt them. But and it's a big response yesterday from Edwards to have two pick sixes. But if you're looking at the standard plays between the 20-yard lines before you get into, you know, red zone situations, they're lacking a little bit at safety right now. Winfield needs to have a bounce-back game. And you know McVay, it's kind of like Chucky back in the day. He'll scheme some things open down the field, and if you don't trust your training, you're going to get burned. So I am interested to see in that regard because, I mean, Stafford's got still one of the top five arms in the league.
He's got to guard every quadrant of the field. There's no – he will test every boundary.
Exactly.
Yeah. By the way, those shot plays you're talking about, they schemed up for Kupp yesterday. 163 yards receiving, 43 yards and 44-yard receptions each on two big plays. That's been true of the first 2 weeks, and that connection is there between him and Stafford. So, yeah, you're right. I think you'll see it. You're right. They're going to have a better effort. But, you know, one thing I will say, everybody's allowed, and you hear this descriptor for teams that – let's say the pundits have a lot of hope that by the end of the year, this particular team, whatever it is going to be good. They'll let teams early in the season work out the kinks, quote unquote. Bucks might be working out the kinks too, in a lot of ways. It's just that they don't get to do that, at least not in terms of the talking points, because they are the reigning world champions.
Oh, I think this game might have turned, and you might have scored 50 by the end of the third quarter, or 40 and change, and pulled the offense off the field if it wasn't for the Jensen penalty. Like, you know, in a long term view, that's what he's going to do. He's gonna, you know, the reputation's gonna be there, and he's going to earn a few that go your way because of retaliation. But that offense goes down the field, scores effortlessly, 7-0. They're going to again. It's 2nd and 5, and it turns into 2nd and 20, and then we take another penalty after that. So there are going to be little things like that that get us out of sync, plus the fact that we're working on stuff. But by and large, I mean, the race for any opponent, the pressure on any opponent to play the Bucks, you've got to score over 30. It's 9 games in a row, including the playoffs and the Super Bowl. It's 9 games in a row that we put up a 30-burger or more. So other offenses are going to have to take big-time chances. And I would think eventually our pass rush is going to be even more consistent. You face two quarterbacks who understand to get the football off in time. Stafford will take some reckless sacks now. So I want to see if that rears its head this weekend as well.
I will say, though, that what we knew to be true at the end of last year is resoundingly true again this year. And that is, you're not lining up and running the ball.
Oh, ever.
No. I mean, think about what that does again. You're not lining up and running the ball. You come into the game one-dimensional. And eventually, towards the end of last year, that paid dividends for the Bucks.
We
know what you're going to do because we know what you cannot do.
Well, and it wasn't always the case last year that, you know, 30 points was necessary to beat us. In some cases, 24, 27 points might have been enough because we were clunky and still trying to figure out who we were. And now it's, in retrospect, we can all laugh at it. But you hear about how Brady really didn't know the offense until December. You're like, good Christmas. Like, we didn't try to put anything together just to get us over the hump.
Just to get us through, yeah.
You know, it was a risk, and it ended up working out. The one thing detail-wise, though, that I love about this team, through 2 weeks, Bradley Pinion's been a weapon. You don't have to worry about Ryan Succop. Mickens, who was activated off the practice squad for the first game, held his job down and earned another look. Special teams-wise, we're a really good team.
Yeah.
You don't have to work around that. At the beginning of last season, that was not the case.
But then it changed, and it stayed that way along with this winning streak. By the way, I think a good way to round out the first pod, Scuttle Bucks back with you. Glad to be back with you. Thanks so much. Make sure you listen in twice a week, once on Friday, once on Monday. We're good to go, or whatever the hell you want to listen. But that's when we're going to drop the pods, on Fridays and Mondays, and we'll do so thanks to our friends at Bill Curry Ford. I'll tell you about them in a second. But here's a good way to say goodbye for today, Tom. 9-19-21 versus Atlanta. That final score was 45-25. 9-9-21 against Dallas, 31-29. I'm working, obviously, from now to back. So if you'd like, we can do it that way. Against Kansas City, that would be the Super Bowl, Tom. That score was 31-9.
Yep.
The week prior to that, that'd be against the Green Bay Packers in the NFC Championship game, 31-26 there. That was January 24th, if you guys are wondering at home. Prior to that, we went into New Orleans. Drew Brees with the pop gun arm. Couldn't get it done, and the Bucks dominate 30-20. Get that win there. That was nice. Tell New Orleans, you're second fiddle now, bitches. And then, of course, before that, Washington. You know that?
That was the Heineke game. The
Heineke game. He played great. By the way, he played good the other night.
He did.
Maybe Heineke can play.
He might be a good player.
He might be. I don't know. So
it was the Giants, but you never know.
Yeah, 31-23. Prior to that, it was Atlanta again. Another ass stomping, 44-27. At Detroit, 47-7. Ooh, yep. Goodness gracious. And then at Atlanta, previous to that, again, 31-27.
That's the turning point game.
9 straight wins, scoring 30-plus points. NFL record books for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. There can be questions about a new F-150 or a Mustang Roush. Is that right?
It's got to be Roush Racing.
Yeah, it's Roush Racing, right? I don't know anything about
Mustangs. I could go ahead to these people you're about to tell them about and get the answer.
Or service. Sean Sullivan is ready to help fans and talk Bucks football, too. So you can have those questions, and he'll answer them, and he'll talk about the Bucks as well. And Bill Curry Ford is home of the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. 61 years in Tampa, still owned and operated by the Bill Curry family. BillCurryFord.com. For Tom Lang, I'm Jeff Cameron. Thanks to all of you for listening. We appreciate you, Joe Bucks fan, and everybody else that has a hand in this podcast. We'll be back with you on Friday. Good to talk to you. Be good, everybody.